and we hope that next spring more people who heard the show, and there were a number of people that came up to me at the event and said, we heard about this event on the show that you and John did the week before, and we decided to try it out, and we're devotees of this event.
Well, and it is that thing that I think a lot of people don't know, that there are these amazing culinary programs at several of our high schools, and what an opportunity for them to show off.
It's called the Chefs of Tomorrow. Yeah, it's always held in March, April every year. And it's been a John Ashton company for many years. It moved to the DoubleTree this year, and they did an outstanding job. And the kids are teamed with a local chef throughout the community. There's the chef instructor who's part of the high school program, and then a guest chef comes in and works with the kids for several weeks before the actual culinary competition. So it's a great way for kids to be introduced into the professional world and also make some contacts there.
Well, and God knows we need more in the professional world. It's being so difficult for restaurateurs and others to find capable help. And so this is it's a great entry. You know, for those who don't want to go study electrical engineering or something, the culinary field is a pretty rich one.
So congratulations to Chef Maureen McCabe and her students from Piner High School. Yeah. It's a great win
for
them.
So can we have them come in and bring their winning dish?
They couldn't this year, we tried contacting this week. It just didn't work for the schedule. But I'm hoping to have Maureen and maybe one of the students on in the next couple of weeks.
So the deal is, you know, you better get them now because their minds are now going toward summer vacation and graduation. And
well, a lot of them will be matriculating and going on to the SRJC or to four-year programs. Yeah. Some of them going directly to culinary programs. So we'll find out. Mm-hmm. So have you ever eaten at this restaurant in San Francisco called Town Hall?
I have not, and I've been meaning to do it forever because it's famous. Or infamous. No, it's famous.
Well, we have the Rosenthal brothers visiting us today from San Francisco. We have Mitch. Hello, Mitch.
How are you?
Yeah, very well. And introduce your younger, better half.
That's my brother, Stephen Rosenthal.
Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Good, how are you?
It's great to have both of you here. This is remarkable. We have known about Town Hall for, 15 years or so?
This year, November, will be the 15th year anniversary. Yeah.
Wow.
And since then, you've opened several other restaurants in San Francisco.
We have Salt House was right after Town Hall 2 years later, which is sort of progressive California. And then Anchor and Hope, which is a fish house, which really what drew us to that. You know, it's like you always want what you see. And our restaurants are all within 2.5 block radius of each other.
Very smart.
We would walk by this building. And I had just come back from Maine, had never been to Maine, ate at a bunch of lobster ponds and fish houses. And it was a garage door. The garage door was open. And I was like, oh my God, that looks like it's out of Maine. I mean, the building is probably 70, 80 years old. Beautiful roof. And there were cars parked in there. It was just dirt.
Was it a mess?
It was a mess. I was like, we have to have that. Mm. Probably 6 months later, a sign went up for lease. And we're like, okay, that's the fish house. Because that trip to Maine, obviously, we come from New Jersey and would spend summers down the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. But going to Maine was sort of incredible, you know, and just eating the lobster right there, going right to the docks and getting it.
And you find, there are different things. I mean, New Jersey and Maine aren't that far apart from each other.
Completely different.
But it's a different culture.
It is, yeah. Yeah. I tell you, going to Maine almost felt like I was going out of the country. I think there's certain parts of the country here when you go to, and you're like, that is, I feel like I could be in somewhere else than America. We were on this little island, Cranberry Island. You know, we had to take a boat to get there, and it was just incredible. You know, and that really inspired Anchor and Hope. And then our the one we've opened recently is Jersey, which is Stephen always wanted to open a pizza place. He's been wanting to open a pizza place forever. And this space came open, again, right next to Anchor. Anchor's right behind Salt House, and Town Hall's about a block away. And we were like, well, what are we going to call it? We're like, we have to call it Jersey.
This is good. It's like the extended family. Like grandma and grandpa live upstairs and on the third floor, and then the duplex across the street. You have all your family within a 5-minute walk or so.
Sure, and you know, we're you know, we're just wandering between these. Yeah. We also own two cafes, La Copper Coffee, which are also right there. We partnered with our friend Hannah Suleiman, who owns Cafe Greco in North Beach, Roaster on Coffee in Oakland. We're looking to do something a little different with the coffee because the whole third wave had come in of roasting, which meant less roasting.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want it Italian, but we wanted somewhere in the middle. So, because we were just going to use Illy or buy someone else's coffee. And then we decided, no, let's roast our own so we can get it to what we want. It's pretty funny because these restaurants really come from like our history, you know, Town Hall coming from really starting with my dad. For some reason, growing up in Jersey, whenever we'd go on vacation, he would drive south. I never went north until I was 18, you know, to Boston.
So from New Jersey, you would go down to Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina.
Exactly.
Get into Georgia, Alabama. Did you get into Florida, too?
We got into Florida. We didn't get into Alabama. A lot of Virginia, a lot of West Virginia, Georgia. And, you know, for some reason, that made an impact on me. And you know, I hate to say it, but we didn't have a strong food consciousness in my family. My mom was not a great cook. Our grandmother was amazing, and it was actually pretty formal in her cooking. Like, there was a real structure to the meal when we'd go to her house.
Yeah, that would have been Grandma Helen.
Yeah, Grandma Helen. It was very, very different.
And you both cook, right? Or did
we do both cook? Yeah.
And
we were cooking yesterday all day.
What happened yesterday?
In the restaurant business, these things happen.
Yeah, it's happening more and more, unfortunately. But, you know, we had some cooks that just, you know, no one believes in giving notice anymore for some reason. So people find better jobs and move on. So there was a bunch of catering, and we just went in there and did it. And, you know, we were saying it's fun. You know, it's fun, but, you know, as you see, I'm wearing a patch on my elbow.
Yeah, I was going to ask
my,
you.
My elbow's killing me.
Is that a carpal tunnel elbow, or did you burn yourself?
What? It's a new pain I've never had. Okay. I see that. I'm 57, and I seem to be waking up with something new every day.
So you started it. Here you end up with Anchor and Hope. You end up with Salt House. You end up with Jersey, Town Hall, coffee shops. And it all started, what, like 40-plus years ago at Jack Cooper's Celebrity Delicatessen New Jersey?
That is true.
My first job was actually Dunkin' Donuts.
What's that?
Dunkin' Donuts was my first job. Making donuts.
You did?
At 14, yeah. Actually, I cleaned the bathrooms. They wouldn't let me bake at 14.
But then got promoted.
Eventually, yeah. Yeah, it was super fun. And then on to Jack Cooper's.
You both worked at the deli?
We did.
And this is in Edison, New Jersey?
Edison, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. It doesn't exist anymore. We're still in contact with the family. You know, amazing. My mom marched me in there when I was 15 years old and said, give him a job. Started as a pot washer, dishes. Eventually, the chef, this huge Greek man, Tom Plagianis, who was phenomenal, would let me fill in when the cooks would go on break. And then before you know it, I was cooking.
It was a traditional Jewish delicatessen, pastrami, corned beef, potato latkes, tunishas.
Hardcore.
Kishka, everything.
It was large also. It was 140 seats and really busy, like really busy. And what was odd is at some point I had picked up K. Paul's cookbook. I think someone gave it to me. And it wasn't kosher or kosher style, though it was a Jewish deli. So Jack, it seems very odd now that they were allowing me to cook at a K. Paul's cookbook. At the time, it seemed very normal.
So you added dishes from K. Paul Prudhomme's cookbook on the Jewish deli menu.
I did. And eventually that became a completely alternative menu to the deli stuff, which was crazy. And then what even became crazier was when K. Paul took his restaurant on the road and went to New York, I went with the son of the owner of the deli. We all went, waited in line for 3 hours. And I was just like, oh my God, this is really something different. Though, I mean, believe me, the deli food was amazing. Everyone was, they were sort of professional. It was a different time. It was the 70s. You know, it was a very different time than now. But I was like, this is amazing. And then I went back again. And I asked, can I come work for you as a stage? Come unpaid and come work. And he said, you know what? I have a meeting with my chefs every Friday. You call me back on Friday and we'll let you know if you can come down. I would go every Friday into the office with the owner of the deli, and he would call, and they would say, well, we're still talking about it. We'll let you know. 6 months. 6 months. Finally said, come on down. So I went down, and that at that point, I was I wanted to go to art school, which I did, and I cooked to get through art school. But I will say that that awakened something to me, that there was this incredible world in food. Like I said, the deli had delicious food. You know, I was cooking out of that book, and it was like, I didn't know what I was doing. You know, it was okay. I really believe strongly whatever food, like seeing food in context of where it is, talking to people, if you can work with them even better, is so important. So going down there was amazing.
So it brings up this interesting question that seems to come up occasionally on this show, and that is about authenticity, you know, and is there authenticity in food, or does food just change and evolve? Or how important is it? How important is it to you? It's like with deli food. There certainly is a conventional wisdom about what deli food is, but...
And boy, that could start huge arguments, right? Yeah. Because if you're from the East Coast and you have this memory of what deli is, or if you're still there, you know, it's hard to shift that, what that is. Even if someone has taken it a little further or a little different, you know... It's hard because, you know, we have very strong feelings about deli food, you know, so it's always like, yeah, that's good, but it's not like back home. I don't think there's like a wrong or right to that or what's authentic. I don't know. It's such a personal personal thing that you're drawing from, right? But I will say that there are certain parts of the country and certain foods that fit into that. I would say deli, pizza. I mean, Stevie and I... Like, look, I like Napolitana style pizza, but it's not, we didn't grow up on that. So to me, I have a more kinship to what we do at Jersey, which would be more in the vein of what you'd find in the East Coast. It's a little different because we do ferment our dough. It's done over 2-3 days, which I think in Jersey, probably they're quick yeast doughs that they make them in the morning and they're bagging them out.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when we opened Jersey, it was funny because guess what? We had a lot of people coming in from Jersey. And we actually had one. Ours is, we make ours, it's called tomato pie. So it's inverted, right? The cheese goes first and then sauce on top. A lot of sauce. I prefer more sauce than cheese. So does Steven, right? So I remember this older gentleman came in and he goes, I know the Di Lorenzos, who are credited with starting that, or the most famous in Trenton, New Jersey, for that pie. And he was like, I know the Di Lorenzos. I'll tell you if it's good. And the guy crushed the whole pizza. I mean, we make huge pizzas. What are they, 16?
They're 16, 17.
So, I mean, it's a huge, it's a big I couldn't pizza. Eat a whole thing. Yeah. No way. And he crushed it. He was like,
thumbs up. That's great.
We'll take a break. We're going to be back with Mitchell and Stevie Rosenthal. They're the co-owners of a number of restaurants in San Francisco. And we're going to focus on one of those, the original one, the Town Hall Restaurant. They also own Anchor and Hope, Salt House, and Jersey, plus a couple coffee houses. They've been cooking for all of their lives in the past 40 years or so. We'll talk about their involvement with Wolfgang Puck, being executive chefs at the landmark Pulstrio restaurant in San Francisco, also the Four Seasons, and that you've introduced a meat and threes on Sunday's menu. And for those of you that didn't grow up in the South, maybe you don't know what the meat and threes, you'll be schooled in that when we come back. Steve Gardner, along with Chef John Ash in the Chaos Ordo Kitchen, celebrating 31 years on the air this year.
Hello, Sonoma County. I'm digital pro Kim Commando. And I'm here Sundays, noon to 3, on KSRO.
Okay, take one.
Have you seen her? Those who have revel in her beauty and her hightitude.
That's not a word.
She's grown hundreds of feet along West College Avenue to become the longest, fastest, and yes, tallest of her kind. Children weep and call out, oh, mommy, it's the big soapy beast.
No, they haven't.
But fear not, you little rugrats. Splash Express Car Wash opens this May on West College Avenue. Our second location is larger, taller, and faster than ever. Over 50% more vacuums means no more waiting for those slowpokes who just love cleaning and sucking away.
Splash Express makes cars cleaner, tires shinier, spouses happier, and kids, well, they'll still call it the soapy beast.
The new Splash Express car wash is now open on College, just west of Dutton. To claim your free ultimate car wash, go to SplashExpress.com.
Splash Express, rub-a-dub-dub.
This month at Grayton Resort and Casino, we're giving away a new Jeep, cash, and more. Play to enter the Off-Road to Riches giveaway on May 25th. You could win a Jeep Grand Cherokee. So many ways to win. Multiplier Wednesdays, get up to 7 times the points. Thursdays, turn points into slot play. Plus, win up to $30,000 in prizes in the wild winning slot tournaments. Best of all, sign up for Grayton Rewards and get up to $500 in free play. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
For over 80 years, George Peterson Insurance has been protecting Northern California, helping businesses and individuals get the right coverage for their needs. George Peterson Insurance continues to grow their employer resources and services in the North Bay. So if you or your company needs personal insurance, business insurance, or help with employee benefits, George Peterson Insurance is committed to this promise. We've got your back. George Peterson Insurance Agency at gpins.com, license number 0603247.
Do you want to find the best deals in Sonoma County? Well, they're just a click away at mysonomadeals.com. There's always current deals on dining, family fun, and more for half price or even lower. Visit the KSRO homepage to check out this week's offer or go straight to mysonomadeals.com to start saving. That's mysonomadeals.com.
I'm Gary Hartwick, President and CEO of Exchange Bank. The North Bay fires had and continue to have an immeasurable impact on our friends, our neighbors, and our customers. At Exchange Bank, we're determined to do everything in our power to help rebuild. That's why we developed several new loan options to help those in need. The fires affected every one of us, but together we can all move forward.
Call or visit Exchange Bank today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Joining Chef John Ashenby, Steve Garner, live today in the KSRO kitchen, the Rosenthal brothers, Mitch and Stevie Rosenthal, owner of Town Hall in San Francisco, also Anchor and Hope, Salt House, Jersey, authentic Jersey-style pizza, and a couple of coffee houses, plus are the author of, well, Mitch, you're credited with Cooking My Way Back Home, your cookbook that came out, was it 2011, 2012?
When did like the book? Yeah.
And a great book. You know, we missed this the first time around.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad we had a chance to take a look at the book today because it's a terrific book and it has a lot of the recipes that are still featured on the original Town Hall menu.
Sure.
Along with Anchor and Hope and Salt House, too.
Yeah. It's interesting because the book was supposed to be, I wanted it to just be completely Town Hall. The editor wanted it to be all of the restaurants in one.
More chances to sell books.
Huh? I guess so. And, the funny thing is that ratio-wise, probably they're fairly even. But to be honest with you, everyone looks at it as a Town Hall cookbook. Yeah. There's also recipes in there that have nothing to do with the restaurants that that we don't really serve. Stephen's chopped liver from the deli, potato latkes, another thing we don't really feature. But you know, things that we threw in because you know the title "Cooking My Way Back Home" was really pulling from these memories of restaurants I worked at, other chefs I've worked for. When I have to be honest with you, when we're cooking gumbos and things at Town Hall, I'm trying to make them the way I remember I was taught in, it was the early 80s. I do have a friend, this guy, Steve, who was a sous chef at Paul Prudhomme's that I've kept in friends, and he comes out every couple of years and gives us a tune-up. He'll come for our big Mardi Gras party, and he'll come and help us and, you know, what are we doing right? What are we doing wrong?
So has, when you think of the food of Jersey or the New Orleans or wherever you're drawing inspiration from, things have changed there too.
Boy,
you know, that I was in New Orleans not too long ago, and it was like I must say I was a little disappointed because I wanted that down-home kind of funky food, and it seems like it's become pretty shishy.
It has, and yeah. You know, my brother-in-law's lived there for 30 years.
Yeah.
And he I was talking to him about it, and he said, you know, here's the difference. Not really has anything to do with food, but New Orleans as a whole. He said, you used to be able to go to a street and talk to someone that knew the history of that street, the what that store was 100 mm-hmm. years ago, who lived in those homes. That has changed quite a bit. Yeah. I mean, it's just that's the way it is, mm-hmm. even New Orleans. Mm-hmm. I still think it still has that core, if you know where
yes.
to go.
Yeah.
You know, it still has that, like, the music scene. Like, the problem is that a lot of tourists wouldn't know, but, like, luckily I have my brother-in-law, so he'll be, let's go up to this Donna's, like, you know, like this sort of, you know, not a really funky place, but there's amazing musicians. Mm-hmm. It's still there. Mm-hmm. I think it's still there with the food mm-hmm. also. Maybe just a little harder to find.
So would you, because of where all of your empire is, it's in a really a small area of San Francisco that has changed so dramatically, you know, and for the good? I mean, for the good for the restaurant business, I imagine.
You know, we have been dealing with construction down mm-hmm. there.
And where exactly is this?
So it's in Soma, mm-hmm. or they call it the East mm-hmm. Cut now. So next...
I haven't heard that.
Yeah, that's, right? Isn't that the name of
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and it's actually never been Soma. It's actually Recon.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. But it's
been renamed to the East Cut.
But if you look at anything about our restaurants, they designate it as Soma, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So the construction has been very hard on us. Mm-hmm. No one wants to, you know, a lot of people, it's very hard to find parking to drive down there.
Used to be all parking lots.
Yeah. And it had a sort of cool funkiness to it. We're sort of waiting to see, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there a lot of this construction is going to be ending. There's going to be a
I
lot.
I don't think so.
Yeah, well, the Trans
Bay. Nowhere to build anymore.
When's the Trans Bay going
to
be done?
Well, it was supposed to be done last year. They're saying June, but the convention center is going to be done at the end of the year.
Yeah.
So those are big projects.
Yeah.
There's the building right next to us that I heard was the swankiest address I heard on NPR yesterday, which Facebook is going on the bottom.
Instagram.
And then condominiums on top. So it's really, we're waiting to see.
Yeah.
And what we have seen, I will tell you, is the clientele base has changed incredibly.
How so?
Well, it's much younger.
Yeah.
I mean, who's working in these? Because it's mostly tech around us,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So they're much younger. Dining habits have changed a little bit, you know.
Do they know food? I mean, when they come in?
Yeah, I think they know food. I think maybe the experience they want may be a little different, uh-huh. you know. I think to be honest with you, not just millennials. I think even my wife and I we used to go out and have that traditional appetizer, entree, mm-hmm. dessert. I don't think a lot of people eat that way. Mm-hmm. I could tell you they don't. I don't eat that way anymore, but just even if our menus aren't structured that way, to eat that way more grazing, that's how people order off it. Meaning mm-hmm. people order two appetizers. Mm-hmm. People, you know, you rarely see people ordering three courses, rarely, you know. And it's a lot of sharing. Mm-hmm. That's more, mm-hmm. which to be honest with you, I remember when we opened Town Hall and someone said, what do you want out of it? And one thing was we wanted it to be fun and we wanted it to have a communal feel. That's what I really want out of the meat and threes. Mm-hmm. You know, there was we had a dinner there that you were at, and my favorite part of it where I felt like, okay, that is right, was I put a board of prime rib out and I gave someone a knife and I said, you're gonna have to cut it, because it was just big chunks, right? And he was like, yeah, I'll cut it. And he starts cutting it. And then everyone came around and started taking from that board and talking more and interacting more. To me, you know, the experience of dining, you know, you can go for that high-end experience where the service is perfect, but I really want to try to create that communal atmosphere where people are talking about whatever, hopefully partially the food, but not only the food. Mm-hmm. You know, that this event, I'm more interested in that, to be honest with you, that this event happens. And when I saw everyone talking and laughing and pulling off that plate and it was messy, I was like, that's what the meat and three should be. I mean, that's what I've always felt Town Hall should be. You know, like, and like I said, we opened that leaving Post Rio, a chef of Post Rio's, working at...
You both were executive co-chefs of Post Rio, Wolfgang Puck's Post Rio.
12 years, yeah.
Starting in the mid to late 80s?
Oh, 94.
It opened in
80.
Well, it opened in 89,
We both worked there when it first opened, but not as chefs. Mm-hmm. Okay. First as cooks. I was a sous chef there. We left a couple times to go back east. We thought we would maybe end up back east. Always ended up back out here. Mm-hmm. The third time back, Wolf said, "It's like baseball. If you leave again, you're out. You'll never come back." So we ended up staying, we're the chefs for 12 years. I mean, I think we worked for Wolfgang for a total of 16 years. Amazing guy. If I lost all my restaurants and I needed a job, I wouldn't hesitate in a minute to go work for
him. And when we come back from this break, we'll talk about his influence in constructing the town hall menu, because there's some recipes in the book that you credit him with, which really surprised me, especially Southern fried chicken, which I never would have guessed in a million years. Rosenthal brothers Mitch and Stevie are with John Ash and me in the Chaos Arnold Kitchen today. Their restaurant's Town Hall is the focus, but we're also touching on their other restaurants in San Francisco. And their cookbook, Cooking My Way Back Home, which came out 6-7 years ago. But it's still a solid, solid cookbook. One of you will win an autographed copy of the book at the end of the show. This is KSRO. It's the Good Food Hour.
FM News Talk Radio. North County 103.5. South County 94.5. KSRO.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden and La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm-fresh eggs, delicious cheeses and produce, like fresh strawberries, avocados, hothouse tomatoes, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. The best choices for food vendors include Minhee Hill's authentic Korean cuisine and La Ta Indian cuisine. They've returned with their exotic dishes, and Eli's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's Original Certified Farmers Market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
It's 3 p.m., and you just ran out of ink. You have a report due end of day, which is 2 hours from now. You can't push the deadline because end of day means end of today, not end of tomorrow day. What now? Go to your local Staples store. Staples has a huge selection of ink and toner in stock and at low prices every day. So you can get your ink fast for less. End of story.
Life is fleeting. Special moments pass us by in a flash. Soccer goals, dance recitals, colorful sunsets over the ocean. For 50 years, Shutterbug Camera Shops on Santa Rosa Avenue has taught you how to capture those fleeting moments. And it all comes with expertise. Shutterbug Camera Shops and you. Capturing a lifetime of special moments. ShutterbugCameraShops.com.
Shutterbug. Old-fashioned service in a digital age.
Listen each Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to noon for Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market. Garden Talk is hosted by Steve Garner and Gwen Kilcher, who welcome your gardening questions each week. And Good Food Hour is hosted by Chef John Ash and Steve Garner, with delicious insight into cooking, eating, and enjoying good food. It's Garden Talk and the Good Food Hour, Saturday mornings on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
811 is a free service to keep our community safe. Before you do any project, big or small, PG&E will come out and mark your gas and electric lines so you don't hit them when you dig. Call 811 before you dig and make sure that you and your neighbors are safe.
A close interaction in the sky between the U.S. and Russia on Friday. ABC's Elizabeth McLaughlin covers the Pentagon.
The U.S. military confirms that two Russian bombers flying off the coast of Alaska on Friday were intercepted by U.S. fighter jets. The F-22s escorted the bombers, reportedly flying less than 200 miles from the coastline, but still within international airspace. Elizabeth McLaughlin, ABC News.
And North Korea announcing today a ceremony at the end of this month to dismantle its northern nuclear test site, inviting foreign journalists from select countries to that.
The CEO of AT&T calls the hiring of President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, as a consultant last year a serious misjudgment. Rudy Giuliani, one of President Trump's attorneys, said he's quite certain the president did not know Michael Cohen was trying to sell insight to the president. And Iraq officials say low turnout and voting irregularities mark the initial hours of voting in the first election since the country declared victory on ISIS. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Cooler temperatures are on the way. Today, sunny at 82, 67 on the coast. Mostly clear skies tonight, low 49. Cooler tomorrow at 67, 56 in Bodega Bay. Partly cloudy skies. Monday, a few clouds at 68, 58 on the coastline. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
In the KSRO kitchen today are Stevie and Mitch Rosenthal, owner of Town Hall Restaurant in San Francisco. They've kicked off a meet and threes in their Southern-inspired restaurant that's been up and running since 2003 in San Francisco. Very well thought of, always.
So you have to talk, Steve, about, and you guys too, about this meet and three, because it was not a concept that I, because I didn't grow up in the South. You know, I didn't have it. So where did it all come from?
Well, you know, too, it's a simple concept. It was basically for the working man.
Totally.
I mean, that's my understanding of
yes.
it, Mitch, is that you come in and you need your protein and you need some good Southern sides. Mm-hmm. You need a cornbread or biscuit or some type of bread product. And then you go back to work. And there were cafeterias and home style restaurants all throughout the South that catered to the working man. It really wasn't working women at that point. There were women actually in factories in some of the textile mills. Yes, I digress. But that's what it was based on, and it was good, basic home-style food. And for my birthdays, when I was as little as 6 and 7 and 8 years old, to me, the ultimate was going to the Blue Boar Cafeteria in Louisville, Kentucky, because it had 20, 25 different homemade sides. Fried chicken, meatloaf, all your beautiful, beautiful dishes. They had a whole salad area, maybe 20, 30 different salads, at least 8 or 10 Southern pies. I convinced my mom that my fruit course could be Jell-O, that was my vegetable. And this was birthday to me. And growing up in the teenager, getting into high school, some of the best food in Kentucky and Louisville was made in the cafeterias in some mm-hmm. of the high schools, because you had these Southern women. They were predominantly Black. These were Black-inspired recipes. These women knew how to cook. And these were recipes and dishes and food that sustained generations of Southerners. And so when I saw that you had meat and threes kicking off at Town Hall, I was anxious to try it. And that's why I came down to the restaurant to try it. Because you don't see many press releases that say, come and join us in our meat and threes kickoff. A lot of the dishes are from your regular menu. Is that correct, Mitch?
They are. So by the way, so far, because that will... The menu will evolve, and I think as summer comes on, you're going to see, especially in the sides, some more seasonal things. You know, it's just mm-hmm. at the farmer's market in Marin Thursday, and you're starting to see cherries. I actually saw stone fruit there already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sort of pretty crazy.
And maybe I was thinking even like butter beans, some type of bean recipe. So if it's good in the summer, mock show some of the corn, fresh corn dishes. When I'm reading the menu,
yes.
when I came 3 weeks ago, I thought, oh, this summer we're going to see a lot more vegetables.
Especially corn mock chew. I love that dish in the book. But I didn't know anything about meat and threes till about after the book. And it was on a family vacation with another family. We got a van. We packed the kids in and drove through like 6 states. We were
sounds like a nightmare.
I'll tell you what, my kids have been to Europe. They've been all over.
Okay.
They think that's the best vacation they ever had.
Yeah.
Very interesting. The civil rights museums, the food they loved, and the history. I mean, the one thing about the South, the history is unbelievable, and the food has so much history in it. You know, it's so.
So you ate at Meat and Three restaurants.
Yes, in Nashville. Nashville. Arnold's.
At
very
Arnold's,
famous
yeah.
place.
And
yeah.
they still exist, these meat
and
cream
They still exist,
places,
yeah. And I was like...
I think Haps is still there, too,
I think
Nashville.
So. And I was just like, okay, this is unbelievable. This is... It was delicious. But like I said, it was delicious, but I loved the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same as Stephen and I, for years, were doing barbecue trips. We'd go to... Mm-hmm. We went... Where did we go? Memphis,
Austin...
Through the hill country.
Kansas City.
And man, there's something in those restaurants, mm-hmm. like when you go in, there's something about, like, I don't know, like, I eat with my hands a mm-hmm. lot. Like, I eat salad with my hand. There's
he
something.
Eats my food with his
hands. Yes. there's something about that. And there's something about the meat and threes that I love the what you were explaining, mm-hmm. who it's for, how you get it, and what that feels like when you're sitting in that dining room.
So we're going to talk about this menu, but. During the break, we were talking a little bit about it, and I if the two of you could kind of share that about working with Wolfgang Puck, and I made the comment to you about he's like the James Brown of the restaurant business. He's the hardest working man.
It's true. I don't think either of us could still keep up with him. Mm. He's got to be a good 10 years mm. older than us. You know, incredible man. And when you working with Wolfgang is interesting because you are working in his world, and his world is an awesome place to be. You know, my brother takes care of a lot of the cost. And I remember Wolfgang saying to us, I don't care what your food cost is. I just want people to say it's the best. And he backed that up because for about a month and a half, he was sending us white asparagus from Austria, right? Every week, no invoice. He knew it was driving Stephen crazy, right? Stephen wanted to know what that cost. And, eventually we got that invoice, you know, and he's fun, energetic. Considering where he came from, he's probably more contemporary and modern than we are, you know, in his thinking, how he runs things. Also different, like he loves chaos compared to Steve and I. We like more structure. You know, fish delivery would come in 6 at night, and he goes, what are we doing with it? And we're like, I'm like, what, tomorrow? He goes, no, now. It's like, what? You know, really amazing guy. The highest level of cooking, but I think his real strength is his connection to his customer base. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm.
So the meat and threes, let's jump into this menu for just a moment. Mm-hmm. You have the smoked prime rib, which was sensational. Do you smoke this in the back of the restaurant or in the restaurant?
In the restaurant. It's an electric smoker.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's electric. You know, we used to do a barbecue once, and I actually did light some real wood out in the back. We got so many complaints because the all the large buildings, it was getting sucked into their intake and smelling the buildings.
Can't do that. Well, it's a meat and threes. It's $45. The starters are chicken andouille gumbo or buttered lettuces. Then the mains are the smoked prime ribs, St. Louis ribs, Mary's buttermilk fried chicken, grilled bavette steak, country pork chops, grilled Skuna Bay salmon or blackened catfish. You get your choice. There's an upcharge for the smoked prime rib, but it's worth it. I'm going to tell people that
Thank you.
There's a buttermilk fried chicken recipe on your menu. It's called Mary's. In the book, though, is it a different? Is this the?
No,
are these the same?
So the chicken.
Because I want to explore your chicken recipe.
The chicken recipe is a mix. So part of it was from a story Wolfgang told me about his mom cooking chicken for him, fried chicken, you know. And the thing was, he said that she did it at a lower temperature, you know, so the skin would crisp, because very often if the oil's too hot, right, the skin gets too dark and the meat's not cooked.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one thing I took from him, was this idea of cooking it at a lower temperature, you know, but hot enough that it doesn't absorb the fat, mm-hmm. and still sears it. Why it's really important to have fresh oil.
Yeah, and you use rice bran oil.
Yeah, because the way the oil, you know, fresh oil seals it much quicker, mm-hmm. after, you know. Though I find that after, like, it's better after about 2-3 fryings of chicken. Mm-hmm. Little broken in, right? But not dead, a little broken in.
Well, it's one of the best fried chickens I've ever had.
And then the other part came from, I was at a barbecue at a friend's house in Corte Madera, and the McElhaney family came, and they were doing fried turkey. And they did this injection in the chicken, you know, of like Tabasco, butter, garlic juice.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, we're going to inject it into the meat now,
which
is sort of a pain because you have to inject it into every piece, right?
But you do it.
We
this
do
way
that.
On the
you
menu.
Can't. You can't. To be honest with you, a simpler way would be to throw it in your brine, or you could throw it in with the buttermilk.
Yeah.
You could probably get something simpler, but there is something about biting into that.
It is explosive flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
And it keeps it moist. It does. Juicy.
Yes,
yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's sort of a mixture of these two influences. Mm-hmm.
So that was, it's a great fried chicken recipe. And I was surprised in the book in the St. Louis rib recipe, you don't put a seasoning on the ribs. It's not like a Memphis dry rub. You don't do that.
No, and, you know, partially it was from, what was
it's
that place?
Kansas City.
It's Kansas City.
It was Kansas, not Kansas City.
Well, it was called Hillbank Barbecue.
But it was in Kansas, not
Kansas
City.
Yeah, and the way we were in Kansas City, it said largest farmer market in like four states, right, or something. And there was this young girl there with these barbecue sauces with all these ribbons, right? And we were like, huh. And I was like, well, where's the barbecue sauce? Well, we only have our sauce here, but you should go try our place out. And she said, it's Hillbank Barbecue. And it's only open like 3 days out of the week, right? So we drove over there, stupidly not finding out if it was open, but we were lucky it was open. And we talked to the guy, and he said, you know, because I know where my pork's coming from. I don't need to cover it up. He actually, though, had one all these barbecue sauces. His barbecue was served with no sauce. It was there for you if you wanted it. But he was like, you know, I know how to smoke and I know where my pig's coming from, so I don't need to cover
and
it
so
up.
And so it's just salt and pepper.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And it was one of our favorites.
Yeah.
It was amazing. Mm.
So you got the starter, the mains, but we've got all these sides and there's about 12 sides to choose from. Dessert, the night I was there, was butterscotch and chocolate putter creme, which I didn't get on my steam table in Louisville, Kentucky.
and by the way, that is something different because meat and threes, traditionally, you wouldn't get you get your meat and your three sides.
Right.
The reason we wanted to do it, why we wanted to be an inclusive, is it's easier for everyone. And also, I mean, I think the price is very fair.
It is.
But because we went back to that meat and threes were not expensive, I felt like by adding that, it's more in the spirit of what a meat and threes is. And that's why we wanted to add.
To add for dessert.
So one of the things that, which I thought was really wonderful were country hams. So you can get a little sampler of three different country hams.
And those also change.
Yeah.
Today we brought some Newsom for you and for fathers, both from Kentucky.
Uh-huh. Yes.
One is more of a prosciutto style. Uh-huh. It comes boneless. And the other one comes on the bone that we actually take it off the bone and put it on the machine just because we occasionally bring in hand cut hams. You got to be pretty talented to do that.
So for people who don't know what country ham, what is country ham?
Country ham. Well, these are they're almost similar in one though. I was interested that Newsom uses no nitrates.
Correct.
But really, they were. When there was no refrigeration, right? It was the way to keep food, right? And actually, fathers did this test where they're saying you could keep their bacon out for 90 days without refrigeration.
That's right.
And they had it tested, and it's true. So it really was born out of that, right? No refrigeration. There is a complexity in the flavor over that aging process, over the salting process, a little sugar and brown sugar added to both of them. You know, usually what we've learned with barbecue or smoking country hams is you use whatever wood is in the area. You know, like here, like we're bringing hickory. I do use peach wood sometime when peach season I have, you know, which it was nice for like light game. I wouldn't use it for prime rib, but for light game.
So on the menu now at Town Hall, you have a choice of you could do the Newsom's or the Father's Kentucky ham. That's additional charge on the book. And it comes with biscuits.
Buttermilk biscuits.
And you have a biscuit recipe in
yes,
the book
we do.
Also. And John and I, in 1997, did our first country ham show because you were included in the book. The Country Ham National Association used one of your recipes.
That's so cool.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I have that actually somewhere.
Do you?
Yeah, Merle Ellis, the butcher.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So we did that, and we had Nancy Newsom McAfee on the show.
That's awesome.
And she sent us a lot of ham in 97. Then we did an update in 2012 where we had Charlie Gatton Jr. from Father's Ham.
Yeah.
He sent us a bunch of ham. So we had Kentucky, and we also had Alan Benton on the show from Benton's Country
Benton's
Ham in Tennessee.
Awesome.
I think we need to do that again.
Huh? We will. It's been five, 6 years.
I think you guys should. You know, apparently there's a ham trail that you can do.
There is. I was telling you about the ham trail.
You guys should go on the road and do that.
Why? Yeah.
Get out of here.
Well, when we come back, we're going to taste a couple of the country hams. And also, you brought the pate of the South. It's called pimento cheese. And we're going to talk a little bit about pimento cheese when we come back with the Rosenthal brothers, Stevie and Mitch, in the Chaos Arto Kitchen with me, Steve Garner, and Chef John Ash.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
This is former State Senator Noreen Evans. I'm proud to be part of a legal team representing thousands of our neighbors against PG&E. Too many of those who lost their homes are finding their insurance policy will not cover the cost of rebuilding or replacing the contents they lost. Sadly, many of our neighbors weren't insured at all. We offer clients access to insurance specialists who can work with you to build a complete inventory of your contents that you can use with your insurance company and in your claim against PG&E to ensure you receive the compensation you deserve. These trained professionals will be available at our next town halls on Thursday, May 10th at 5:30 p.m. and Saturday, May 12th at 10 a.m. at 70 Stony Point Road in Santa Rosa. To learn more and join those who have taken action, visit our website at pgelawsuit.com or call us at 707-237-2445.
John Cox of the Law Offices of John Cox is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Creams Towing, this is Arlene.
You know Creams Towing for cars, but Creams Towing can handle even the biggest jobs. Need a motorhome towed? Call Creams. Are you a rancher that needs large equipment moved? Tractors or horse transport trailers are no problem for Creams Towing.
Just call Arlene at Creams, 588-1250. Creams Towing, this is Arlene. With competitive rates and certified Class A drivers, Creams can tow 24/7. They can handle rollovers, heavy-duty accident recovery, and winch out.
Are you a Class A driver looking for a great company to work for? Interested in learning the towing business? Creams is expanding and wants to add several drivers. With the largest fleet of medium and heavy-duty transport vehicles in the area, including a state-of-the-art 50-ton wrecker, you'll learn from the best. Openings for Class A and C. Creams will teach the right candidates.
Be a hero on the highway. Call Creams, 588-1250.
If your land and trees have been affected by the fires, your registered professional foresters at Environmental Resource Solutions can help you. With winter upon us, we can help protect your property from erosion. Environmental Resource Solutions can coordinate dead and damaged tree cleanup and replanting. We're the company that works with local and state agencies, including CAL FIRE, to secure required permits. Please call my team in Santa Rosa, Environmental Resource Solutions, at 566-7510. That's 566-7510.
Come to the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, voted Best Farmers Market. You'll find garden starts at Nature's Spirit Garden and La Vida Buena Nursery. Savor farm fresh eggs, delicious cheeses and produce, like fresh strawberries, avocados, hothouse tomatoes, and healthy salad greens. Discover quality beef, pork, lamb, fresh seafood, and freshly made sausages. The best choices for food vendors include Minhee Hill's authentic Korean cuisine and La Ta Indian cuisine. They've returned with their exotic dishes, and Eli's Kitchen provides fabulous homemade Mexican food. Santa Rosa's original certified farmers market at the Luther Burbank Center for the Arts is open year-round, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1 p.m. Thank you, Sonoma County, for voting them number one. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Kitchen. I'm Steve Gardner, along with Chef John Ash and the Rosenthal brothers, Stevie and Mitch, owners of Town Hall, plus their other restaurants, Anchor and Hope, Salt House, Jersey, and the coffee shops all in San Francisco. We had a great chance to taste your beautiful buttermilk biscuits and the country hams from Kentucky. Pimento cheese is next. We've got only a couple minutes left, but how did you discover pimento cheese?
In Charleston, my first time in Charleston. That's why it's not in. That's why it's not in the book, because my trip was after the book.
Oh.
And when we had it, we were like, okay, this may be one of the best things we've ever had. You know, either served with, I brought some bread, but crackers, apparently a staple you know, because mm-hmm. you know, unbelievable. And I had it both ways. I had it the way we serve it, cold or room temperature, and I had it as a sort of hot souffle, which was amazing. Mm.
Yeah. And done as a souffle with egg whites.
No, no, no. It was just cream cheese, just warm. Baked. It was incredible. Yeah.
And it's on the menu at Town Hall.
Yeah.
The pimento cheese, along with warm jalapeno cornbread. And thank you for including not one, but two recipes for chess pie in your cookbook. And we love chess pie. John Ash and I actually did a chess pie taste off about 10 years ago. We brought 10 different chess pie recipes into the KSRO kitchen. That's how much we love chess
pies. And several of them labeled the best chess pie.
Really? You know? Unfortunately, I'm diabetic, so I haven't eaten sugar in a long time.
Did you
so
develop the chess pie recipe, or who did?
No, our pastry chef did. Oh. I think, was it Janet at the time?
Probably.
Or Janitor. Janitor. We've had such blessed pastry chefs. Janet Ricklow, who was with us at Postrio, and Christine Law, who was also with us at Postrio. So Stephen gets all the tasting chores. When it comes to desserts, I don't taste them.
No,
because I'm an addict. If I start, I'm not going to stop. So it's not like one bite would kill me, but it wouldn't be one bite.
Okay, so you have no self control. You know that about yourself. That's really good. Can you give me your favorite number between 1 and 12? Can you boys agree on your favorite number between 1 and 12?
Five,
sure.
Huh?
Sure.
See,
five.
You see, that's only because I'm the oldest that he sure.
Caller number 5 at 636-1350. Caller number 5 will win an autographed copy of Cooking My Way Back Home by Mitchell Rosenthal with John Polt, who co-wrote it with you. Recipes from San Francisco's Town Hall, Anchor and Hope, and Salt House. Caller number 5 at 636-1350. We're going to have to taste pimento cheese when we get off the air, but I can vouch for how beautiful it is.
Thank you.
And thanks for the biscuits and ham. It was wonderful having you guys up. This was a great opportunity to get to meet you.
Yeah, it was super fun. Super fun.
And reminding folks that it's Sunday only for the meet and threes.
Sunday only so far. If it really takes off, I'm threatening everyone. We're going to do it on Saturday too.
But people should make a reservation.
Yeah.
If they want to come.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, we had live music that opening night, and we were like, maybe we should continue that.
Live music really helped a lot.
Yeah, it does. It
made it a very festive occasion. So thanks again, guys, for coming.
Thank you.
John Ash, next week, Jessica Batalana will be in the KSRO Kitchen, her new cookbook.
Yeah.
And then we have a wonderful chef, a Cuban cookbook, coming in on the
26th. Yeah, I'm really anxious. I know nothing about Cuban food. So
we'll both learn along. At the Table with Clark Wolf. That's coming your way following the news at the top of the hour. This is KSRO Santa Rosa.